Okay, I want to dedicate this year in memory of Michael Brown. That he should have an Elias Lashem. In any event,
Elijah armed robber.
Okay.
Well, let's start. He was allegedly armed robbery, and then he was tracked down by police.
It wasn't alleged. There was proof. The video.
It's all alleged. Armed robber, allegedly shot by police. He's really shot by police.
So I'd like to give a little introduction to today's shiur, a little bit of background. We're going to focus our attention on a rule that is formulated by the Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Tes. The Gemara says, and I'll read to you the language of the Gemara, Kol mitzvah shenemra l'bnei noach v'nishneis b'sinai l'zeh v'lazeh nemra. Which means that if the mitzvah was given to the Avos, was given to Bnei Noach before Matan Torah, and then it was repeated after Matan Torah, Lazev Lazeh Nemra, it means the Chiddush of the Torah is that leave the mitzvah for the Bnei Noach, they're obligated in that mitzvah, and now there's an additional mitzvah that's incumbent upon Bnei Yisrael. So in effect, what it means is that any mitzvah that's repeated twice, it's repeated once before Matan Torah and given to the Avos, and given again after Matan Torah, after our Sinai, is both Bnei Noach and Bnei Yisrael are obligated in that mitzvah. So the Gemara objects, what about the mitzvah of Mila? After all, Avraham Avinu was commanded in Mila, Lo Lazaro Akrov. Then we have the mitzvah of Mila that's given after our Sinai in Parsha Shmini, B'yom HaShmini Yimol Besar Oloso. So according to our, if we apply that rule, then both Bnei Noach and Bnei Yisrael should be obligated in the mitzvah of Mila. And we know that Bnei Noach are obligated in how many mitzvahs? In seven, correct? And we don't include Mila. So the Gemara gives the answer, Mei kara li Avram hu dekam mazir le rachmana vi ata es brisi tishmar ata vizarcha achrecha ata vizarcha in ishachrini lo. That the Torah went out of its way to add the word Lizaracha to tell you that other members of Bnei Noach, there are many, obviously many descendants of Noach that aren't Bnei Avram, are not obligated in the mitzvah of Mil. Then the Gemara goes to ask him, well, what about Yishmael and what about Esav and so forth and so on? And the Gemara brings Psukim to exclude Bnei Yishmael, to exclude Bnei Esav, and therefore the mitzvah of Mil is only incumbent upon Bnei Yaakov and the Shvatim and so forth, their descendants. Good. So I wanted to bring to your attention a question of one of the Achronim called the Zohar HaRakia. He raises an objection with regard to another mitzvah that's written in the same parasha of Mila, but it doesn't have the exclusion of Lazaracha. Because in Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah commands Avraham Avinu, Hine Kel Shakai, God introduced himself under that name, Shin Kuf Yud, right? Shin Dal Yud, right? And God says, I'm going to make a bris with you. And in that context, Hashem commands Avraham Avinu, Hishalech Lefanai, Veheye Samim. And the Ramban, as we'll soon see in the pages that I gave you, codifies that as one of the mitzvahs of Taryak. Hishalech Lefanai, Veheye Tamim. So if you take a look on the first page of this handout that I gave you, you'll see Hasogas Ramban L'Sefer HaMitzvos L'Ramba. You know that the Rambam codified the 613 mitzvahs in a work that's called Sefer HaMitzvos, and the Ramban wrote a critique claiming that he left out certain mitzvahs, mitzvah seh, mitzvah slo seh. So amongst the list of mitzvahs, which according to the Ramban, the Rambam omitted, is the mitzvah of Tmimus, to be Tamim. And you'll see that there on the bottom of your page one, mitzvah shminit, the eighth of those mitzvos, shenitz tavenu lios levavenu tamim imo, our heart should be complete or perfect with him with a capital H. V'hu shenemar, and that's what's written in this week's parsha that we read yesterday, tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Good? So in our parsha it says, tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. So this mitzvah being tamim is given post Har Sinai. But, says the Ramban, this mitzvah was given even before Har Sinai. Take a look. If you fast forward to the part on the bottom of your page where I underlined it, Ube mitzvah zos nitztava Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu already received that mitzvah. Kasher bo lichros lo bris, when God came to establish the covenant with Avram, laseis lo zera, to give him children, Omar, it says, his halech lufanai ve'yesamim, ki mipnei shahayahu, Zachur Latov, may his memory be for the good. Yesod be'emuna. You remember that Avraham Avinu was the knight of faith. He got up and he argued against all those idol worshippers, the Kazdim that were popular at that time, that watched the heavens and the stars and the constellations and believed that they were the powers that created the world and influenced the world. And Avraham Avinu rejected all those idols. And Avram Rosh Yesh Aleim Yotzer, there's above all these stars and spheres a creator, Umanhig, who guides the world, controls the world. Therefore, Tzivo, God commanded Avram, oh, furthermore, not only the Bris Mila, but also Lisalech Lefanov, follow in my path, Lefanov, in my presence. V'liyot tamimimo. What does it mean, tamimimo, to have a perfect heart with God? V'lo yitein b'libo. He shouldn't allow his heart to think shiehe b'zulato, that there's anyone except God, shum emet, that has any power of truth. V'lo yistakel binyanim klal im da'ato shiotzram manhig otam elyei libo levad. Levado yitbar ki hu ha-mitzaveh otam ha-masader sidur marachatam kirtzono ki'inyan sha'amru tsei mitztagminut shelcha. In other words, these idol worshippers believed in the powers of fate that control man's destiny. Human destiny is controlled by all these spheres. That's what we call the science of astrology, or the belief in astrology. And the Ramban says that in this week's Parashat Shoftim, we have two things. We have a rejection of all these kinds of sorcerers and magic makers and those who interpret clouds and come up with, you know, crystal balls, and they interpret the future. And the Torah prohibits that for Bnei Yisrael. And then the Torah says, Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, which is a mitzvah to rely on God and only on God, that God is the creator. He's above all these powers in the universe. Fate is controlled by Almighty God. And that mitzvah was given already to Avraham Avinu because he was the first individual who rejected all these powers. So if you take a look, for example, a little bit earlier in this same paragraph, the Ramban writes, "Va'inyan atzava zol sheniyached levavenu elav levado." We should focus our attention, our lave, on him, with a capital H, him, to the exclusion of any other power or sphere in the universe. Shehu levado oseh kol, right? He does everything. Hu yodea amitat kol atidi, knows the truth of any future. And therefore, don't go asking the future from all these other sorcerers and diviners and omen readers and cloud readers and so forth and so on, but rather only to Hashem. Ask his Navi, his prophet. Ask the Urim v'Tumim. Rely on God. Interesting, the Ramban says not that the system of stars and don't control fate, they do, but God is above that, and God could change and alter that. Mefer otot badim v'kosmim. Here the Ramban is paraphrasing a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi, that God abrogates the omens of the stargazers, he makes fools of the diviners. V'namina, we must believe shekol ha'ba'ot Tiena Elenu Kifit Karvutenu Lavodato. And all that will happen to us in the future will be a result of our closeness and dedication to God. The closer we come to God, the more God will change our fate for the good. And this, the Ramban says, is Kel Shakai. Shin Dalad Yud is a reference to God who overrides nature. So what we call the science of nature, which is cause and effect, right? For example, if this heavy object falls, the law of gravity says it's gonna fall to the ground. So that's what we call nature, the natural order. In the Ramban's frame of reference, the future is controlled not by the natural order of nature, but some sort of spheres or mazolos up above. But above, what controls all the stars and can change them, that's the Yotzer Kol, the Kol Yachol, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we are commanded here, Tamim Tia, to believe in that Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. He's controlling fate. He's controlling destiny. He will alter our fate in our favor if we follow in his footsteps, if we observe the law. So that dedication and loyalty will bring about a change for the good. And if Chas V'Shalom we violate the law, then he's going to change our fate for the bad. And that mitzvah was given to Avraham Avinu. So the Zohar Rakia asks, wait a minute, we have a rule based on the Gemara Sanhedrin that if the mitzvah is given before Matan Torah and then again after Har Sinai, then it's obligatory on both the Goyim and the Jews. L'zeh v'l'zeh nemra. So then, according to the Ramban, we should come to the conclusion that the mitzvah of Heyei Tamim, which is originally given to Avraham Avinu, repeated after Har Sinai and Parashat Shoftim, is now obligatory not just on the Jewish people but also on the non-Jews. Do you hear the question? So I want to share with you an insight that I found in a sefer called Shalmei Nachum on Chumash. And he wants to claim, listen carefully, that the parsha that's given to Avraham Avinu in Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishis is a package deal. It's indivisible. It's the bris, and it's the mitzvah of Hesalech Lefanai Ve'yei Tamim. And those two are absolutely interconnected and interdependent, meaning just like the Gemara says that the Bris Mila, although it was given to Avram, since the Torah says V'lezarech Achrecha excludes the Bnei Noach, so too the mitzvah of Heyei Tamim, insofar as it's part and parcel of this entity called the Bris Mila, is given to Bnei Yisrael, to Zarech Achrecha, to the exclusion of Bnei Noach. And the question is why? How do you know such a thing? Again, if you look in the Psukim, I'm sorry I didn't bring a Chumash today, that was my fault. We don't have a Chumash here, do we? If you have one handy, I wouldn't go to the ends of the Gly to find it.
How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Heyei Tamim? Like, what is
Heyei Tamim means, according to the Ramban, believe that Almighty God is above nature, he's above fate, and that's oh, thank you. This is Bereishis?
Everything.
Oh, the whole five books here.
Oh, no, it's just Bereishis.
Like it involves like a law that not go and like check out the mazalos to see what they have to say
about the future.
No, you still at the same time believe that God has control.
Correct. It goes even beyond. Even if you believe that God has control, you're commanded.
Check it out.
Right. Check it out from God, which means from his Navi, from the Urim V'Tumim. I don't know how you're going to do it today. We don't have the Navi, we don't have the Urim V'Tumim. But certainly you're enjoined from going to these sorcerers and these magic makers and these divinations who foretell the future. That's absolutely out. But the Rabban thinks that in it. Well, I would say it like this. I don't know if it's a lavanita klase, but in addition to the lotaser, which means that you're not allowed to confer with the Ovidoni and all those, there's also a mitzvah sase that was added on that has to be included and incorporated in Tayag to believe that God is above all those fates.
But there is a iser of the shamus thing off of the Lodazara, so I could just like we'll just lump it in there.
Yeah, but what about this belief that God controls fate and that everything that happens to us is a result of a divine decision? Why aren't the Bnei Noach obligated in that?
Why,
true.
Why do you say they are?
Because we only have an Isra of Avodah Zarah. We don't have a mitzvah of Tumim Tiyah. Wait a minute.
Isra of Avodah Zarah is saying, don't believe in Avodah Zarah. It's like, well, at the end of the day, you have to believe in something.
No, but what I'm asking you is something else, Jonathan. What I'm asking you is that we are also commanded to reject Avodah Zarah. In fact, I think the Rambam has four different lotases on Avodah Zarah. You know, you can't create an Avodah Zarah, you can't sell an Avodah Zarah, you can't bow down to an Avodah Zarah. But in addition to that, says the Ramban, we have a mitzvah of Tamim Tiyah Hashem Elokecha, to believe that everything that we have in our faith, the good, if we observe the Torah, and Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, if we don't observe the Torah, that's all bestowed upon us by God. God is the controller. He gives us what we have. He's above fate, above nature. Everything is organized and arranged according to Him. The Ramban says that has to be counted as one of the mitzvot. If that has to be counted as one of the mitzvot, despite the fact that we're enjoined for avodah zarah, it means it's a separate independent entity. The same logic should apply to Bnei Noach. They too should be commanded in Tomim Tiyah and not just in the lav of avodah zarah. That's the question of the Zohar Rakia. I'll read it to you inside if you like. I have it quoted here in the Shalmei Nachum, but it's pretty much what I said. Hiksha b'Zohar Rakia, Hiksha l'Ramban, from that sugya, I won't go over the sugya. He says in Cain, Lama b'nei Noach, eino mitzuvim, b'mitzvahs tomim tiyah mashal lokecha. V'kem eshet nitna kodem matan Torah, li'avram avinu, v'gam nitna li'achar matan Torah, b'parashas shoftim, mitzvahs yeh tomim, sh'nemar avram, nishneis v'sinai, s'tzricho li'os, v'ha mitzvahs sh'bnei Noach v'chuyovem b'hem, v'nishar b'tzorchi. He doesn't end up with a question, with any answer. So I want to share with you this Shalmei Nachum. The Shalmei Nachum builds his thesis on a Ramban. The Ramban says in Parshas Bereishis that Bnei Yisrael are different than any other nation. And when Hashem is Koreis Bris, when the covenant is sealed with Bnei Yisrael, the substance of that bris is that God doesn't designate any malachim, any, let's call them, angelic powers to control Bnei Yisrael. The control of Bnei Yisrael, that what we call Hashkachat Hashem, divine providence, in the case of Am Yisrael, is direct. In the case of all the other nations, says the Ramban, it's through intermediaries. There are delegates, there are offices, celestial spheres, every nation has its own angel. This is the Ramban's major thesis. But Klal Yisrael are different. And when did that come into existence? At what point in history did Hashem designate Klal Yisrael as his people such that he would have direct divine supervision over the Jews? That was the choice of Avraham Avinu at the time of the Bris. And that's what the Ramban integrates into every single word in the Parsha Yud Zayim of Sefer of Parsha's Lech Lecha. Yigzar, the Ramban says, Kel means directly, Hu Ose Tova, Belishu Mazolos. This is the nature of Tzemitz Tagnina Shalcha that Chazal tells in the Gemara and Shabbos that Avraham Avinu leaves all the control of, again, we'll use the word nature, again, in the Ramban's frame of reference, has to do with astrology, but I don't want to get off on a tangent, that could be a shiur unto itself, you know, the Rambam thinks that astrology is bunk, it's sheker v'chazov, there's nothing to it, the Ramban accepted the science of astrology, but he holds that Klal Yisrael are controlled not by astrology, but from the time of Avraham in the Bris, at the end of Parashas Lech Lecha, we're controlled directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Shalmei Nachum, that's what it means when Hashem says, "His halech lefanai veheyes samim," because the psukim are right next to each other. It's all one presentation. The pasuk says, "Vayehi Avraham ben tishim v'teisha shanim, vayera Hashem al Avraham vayomer elav ani kel shakai his halech lefanai veheyes samim." This kel shakai is that dimension of God that has direct control, destroys and abrogates nature. Again, I'm using the word nature, but the Ramban would say the Kochav Mazalos. And Ein Mazal B'Yisrael means that God is direct in His supervision over Klal Yisrael. And the very next pasuk says, V'etna brisi b'ini v'einecha. On this close, intimate relationship, direct, through no intermediary between God and the people of Israel, Hashem says, I'm going to establish my bris. And immediately afterwards, God changes the name of Avram to indicate that he is the Bala Bris. And then it says, V'akimosi es brisi b'ni u'v'enechu b'ein zarachach recha, which you remember, the b'ein zarachach recha excludes the bris, the mitzvah bris, from the other nations. And then, V'nasati l'chol zarechach recha es eretz migurecha es kol eretz knan l'achuzas olam. Says the Ramban, why is the very next pasuk the gift of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Knan? And not only that, Sachuzas Olam, it's irreversible. We will never forfeit our rights, our claim to this land, says the Ramban, because this land is fundamentally different than every other land on the face of the earth. All other lands on the face of the earth are given to Malachim, to intermediaries, who are the delegates or the officers, and they're the go-betweens between Hashem and that land. There's only one land which is controlled directly by Hashem. That's the land of Eretz Canaan. And that was an Achuzas Olam. And in a sense, Hashem changed the entire natural universe at this moment in history. And what's the next pasuk? Hisalech lefanai v'yesamim. Says the Shalvei Nochem, what's this Halech Lefanai V'yesamim? His Halech Lefanai, if you follow in my mandates, then God says, because I have direct supervision, Hashkacha, over you and yours and your nation, your people, therefore I will grant you all the good things, even if it means that the nations of the world will be controlled by the spheres, I will control you directly. Veheye Samin means, and you have to realize that all those other powers and all those intermediaries have no power of you. Heye Tamim, you understand that Hakol, everything is controlled directly from Hashem. Therefore, to the same extent that the mitzvah of Bris Milah is given exclusively to Bnei Yisrael, the mitzvah of Heye Tamim is given exclusively to Bnei Yisrael. In other words, this miut, this exclusion of Lezarecha, as opposed to the other nations of the world, applies not just to Bris Milah, but it applies to this whole package of his Halech Lefanai Ve'yei Samim. Because the Ve'yei Samim is a reflection of the fact that God has chosen this nation, designated as His personal nation, to the exclusion of all the other nations. That because of the direct Hashkach of Hashem over Klal Yisrael, the Kochavim and the Mazolos have nothing to say. They cannot control this nation. That's what the bris is. Now, what I presented to you until now is the Ramban. If you have a little bit more time, I want to show you that Rashi seems to have a whole different take on what's going on here. So Rashi is on the top of your page 1, but I want to introduce Rashi in a gradual sort of way. I want 2 introductions before we come to Rashi. The first introduction is Rabbeinu Yonah, and that's on page 2. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, which is perhaps the magnum opus of Rabbeinu Yonah, says that there's a distinction that we make, and it's a misnomer. He rejects it. We have a categorical distinction in our minds between what we call ma'alot and mitzvot. Ma'alot means these are behavior patterns or attitudes, hashkafot, that we should strive and hope to achieve and embody in our lives. And then we have mitzvot, which represent particular commands to do action X, action Y, etc., etc. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no. The Torah gave the malot as mitzvot. Look at the examples he gives. The first example, he says, ma'alat habchira. Man was endowed with the power of freedom of choice. And when he utilizes the choice in the right way instead of abusing it, u'bachayto b'chayim, says Rabbeinu Yonah, he's not only exercising a certain mala, a certain behavior pattern that puts him on a high level, he's also fulfilling a mitzvah. It's more than just an attitude. It's more than just an intellectual concept. It's a mitzvah per se.
And if he doesn't do it, he's over on the mitzvah.
Correct. And I'm going to skip his second example for a moment because that has to do with using your intellect for the wisdom of God. That's more complicated. But let's go to the third example. V'halachta b'drachav. That your ethical creed, the underlying rule that guides all your moral decisions, is to imitate God. Well, that's an overall attitude or hashkafa that I have to have. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a mitzvah. Every time I try and I succeed in imitating God, I fulfill a mitzvah. Alright, we'll skip the next example, and I just want you to give you a flavor of it. He says that Hitbonen begadlut Hashem, begdulat Hashem. We are commanded to look at nature and appreciate the greatness of God. And that's based on the pasuk V'yadata yom ha'shivot el avavecha. Says Rabbi Yonah, that's just an attitude of hashkafa. That is a mandate of mitzvah like any other mitzvah. We're commanded to go out and appreciate God's world. Then he adds, Zichron chasadav, we have to remember all the good things that God bestowed upon us and thank Hashem. V'zacharto et kol haderech, v'yadato im levavecha. These are all attitudes that we have to appreciate. Then he says, v'tkadashtem, we have to become kedoshim, we have to become sanctified, that's also a mitzvah. And he gives many other examples. So let's go back to the one that I skipped. For pedagogical reasons, I deliberately skipped it. He says, umalat, on the third line from the top, shleimut habitachot, means we have to be perfect in our reliance upon Hashem. Hashem will come through in the clutch for us. We may be in very difficult situations, we encounter dangerous situations, but we have to rely on Hashem. Everything that Hashem does is for the good. Shenemar, what's the source for this mala, which according to Rabbi Yonah is a mitzvah, tamim tiyem Hashem alokecha, our pasuk. So whereas the Ramban says that tamim tiyem Hashem alokecha is some sort of intellectual belief and understanding and appreciating that God is great and He's kol yachol and he controls everything and He controls our fate and He changes our fate and we shouldn't go and look here, there and elsewhere, the future is determined by God. Rabbi Yonah identifies this mitzvah of Tamim Tiyah, he agrees with the Ramban that it's a mitzvah, but he identifies it as what? Bitachon, relying on Hashem. Now I want to fast forward to page 4. And I want to show you what the Panim Yafot has to say about Tamim Tiyah Hashem Elokecha. He says the following. Tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha bein shenoheg kach b'midat harachamim bein shenoheg kach b'midat hadin. He says that there are two names of God that are mentioned in this verse. One is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which represents what? Compassion. And the other is Elokim, which represents justice or din. And we have to accept Hashem both as Yud Kei Vav Kei and as Elokim. In the next paragraph, he embellishes it even further. He says, on the fourth line, "Yesh od lefareshu remez al mitzvat hanishtaveh." This is a language from hundreds of years ago. Hishtavut means when we accept everything as equal. In this case, both God's compassion and His justice. For who? You might want to underline this. Shehei shaveh be'einav. It's equal in His eyes. Midat harachamim u'midat hadin. In other words, we embrace everything. Everything that God gives us is good. He goes on and he suggests that this is really the fundamental point of all of our ethics, because if we accept everything as being good, we'll be completely misulak, we'll be completely removed from kina and taiva and kavod, from all the passions that plague man, the desire for glory and the desire for pleasure and so forth and so on. Now, having seen Rabbi Yonah, who identifies Tamim Tiyah as the Mida of Bitachon, and having seen the Panim Yafos, who identifies Tamim Tiyah as accepting both Din and Rachmim, Rachmim V'Din, Bishtavut, now I want you to go back to Rashi on the top of page 1. Rashi says, Tamim Tiyah Hashem Elokecha, Hithalech Imo B'Tmimut. Follow a pattern of simplicity, not in the negative sense simplicity, not superficial, but a certain naivete. Tetzapelo. I would say tetzapelo means not only anticipate Him, but rely on Him. V'lo tachkor achar atido. Don't try to figure out what's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen, tetzapelo, rely on Him. Kol mashi yovo alecha, anything that will befall you, kavel b'tmimut, accept it. B'tmimut, it's all part of a divine plan, and it's done for our benefit. V'oz, and if you reach this level, tiyeh amo Ulechelko, you will be his chosen people and his inheritance. So I would suggest that Rashi might be combining both Rabbi Yonah's approach and the Panim Yafas. In other words, he's saying that number one, we should identify Tovim Tiyam Shalakecha as relying on Hashem, Tetzapolo, God will come in come through in the clutch, as we say. And number two, we should have a certain acceptance of everything that happens to us. It's all part of a divine plan. And you know, the Baal HaTurim is famous, number one, for his gematrios. You know, he calculates numerical value. But he's also famous for the letters, according to the Masorah, certain letters in the Torah are small, certain are larger. He says that the Taf of the word Tamim is Gedola. It's larger than any other letters. And what's it trying to convey to us? Shin Teilech B'Tmimut. If you embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a perfect sense, Ke'il Kiyamta, it's as if you fulfilled Me Aleph HaTaf. The Taf means the end, but it really encompasses the whole scheme of things. Everything is included in Tamim Tiyeh. And the Ramban, we already saw, the Paradis Yosef, who's a contemporary, writes that the Ramban brings down this pasuk in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, but he falls short of counting it, incorporating it into the Tarim Mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah. Only the Ramban counts it as a mitzvah. So whereas the Rambam sees it as swallowed up in the Lotaseh that tells us we're enjoined from conferring with the Ovidoni and going to ask them guidance and having them, these sorcerers and these cloud readers, read the future for us. And then Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha is sort of like a general rule that gives us the bottom line of all these Yisurim. That's not a specific mitzvah, it's a general mitzvah. The Ramban sees it as a specific mitzvah. And I want to share with you the insights of two of the Achronim from about a century and a half ago. That's Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch on the bottom of your page 2, and then the Beis Halevi Rav Yosef Ben Brisker on the top of page 3. According to Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch, the concept of Tmimut, of Tamim Tiyeh, should be derived from a different parasha in the Torah. And that's the parasha of Karbanot. When a person brings a karban, lehiskarev, karban miloshen lehiskarev, he's got to bring an unblemished animal. What's a blemished animal called in halachic terms? You remember?
Tummy?
No, a blemished animal.
What is a blemished?
In other words, one of its limbs is injured. A baal mum, exactly. And there's a whole parasha in the Torah. Four times over and over again, the Torah prohibits us from bringing a baal mum onto the mizbeach. And the Gemara derives in Zvachim that there are four different Yisurim in a baal mum. You can't be Magdish a baal mum, you can't be Machtir a baal mum, you can't be Zorik the Dam. Four different Yisurim. And then the Torah says, and this you'll see, Rav Hirsch points out on about the fifth line of this paragraph, he says, Elagam Tzivsa, the Torah also gives us, in addition to the Yisurim, four different Yisurim about a baal mum on the Mizbeach, a positive command, Al Tmimus HaKarban, that the carbon that we bring should be complete, it should be perfect. Tamim Yakrivenu, it should be Tamim. Says Rav Hirsch, Vamitzvachi Vichal HaTmimut, Kolelet Yoter MeHaYisur HaShlili. He says that the Torah gave us this positive command which goes beyond the Isur, because the Isur and those four Isurim only applies to Mumim Chitzonim, external Mumim. Blemishes that you could see with the naked eye. But what about internal injuries? He says, V'ilut mimut, the positive command, kolelet shlemut pnimit, that even the animal on the inside has to be perfect and healthy. You know, send it for an ultrasound to make sure that all its internal organs are perfect. And therefore, mechusar evim yivifnim, if it's missing a part of its body inside, is pasul l'karma because of the mitzvah of tmimut. Okay, fine. That's a good piece of lumbus. We have Tzvei Dinim here. But then, in the next paragraph, he sees that this is symbolic of every dimension of our relation to God and how we have to serve God. He says the case of a person bringing a karmon is really symbolic. It's the paradigm of a person who wants to come close to Hashem. The Torah says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's called Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem means that everything belongs to you, God. You created the world, and you are the owner of the world. And then the Torah says, therefore, v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. You must love God. V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshcha, v'chol me'odecha. Every aspect of your life has to be dedicated to the love of Hashem. He says, if a person brings a balmum as a karmon. He's saying to Hashem, you know what, I want to get close to you, but I'm bringing you an animal that's blemished. He says that animal that he's bringing really represents man himself. It's symbolic, as the Ramban says in his introduction to Chumash Vayikra, the animal symbolically represents the person himself. And a person himself says to Hashem, you know what, I want to come close to you, but I'm leaving a little bit out. And what is he excluding? Some dimension of his life. He's not willing to take the Yichud of Hashem, Hashem Echad, and the Haftas Hashem Bechol of Avcha, with every dimension of his life. Ein ha'adam et kasher Hashem v'shleimut, bechol yeshuto, bechol yachasav. He's not willing to dedicate every dimension of his personality to Hashem, but rather, hu mishayer davar ma, he leaves something out. Yeah, every one of us has this temptation to say, you know what, part of our lives, you know, we go on vacations, we go on holidays, or we enjoy this, we enjoy that. You know, today, you know, people play with their, I'm not coaching anyone here, but it's a machlas medina. People play with their phones. What do they call them? The
smartphones?
Yeah, but those games that they play.
There's a lot of them.
And some of them, even young children, you'll see three-year-olds, and they're addicted to that. But anyway, everybody has his area of his life, which he says, you know what, I'm religious from 9 to 5, but the rest of my life, you know, well, the opposite. You know. He says, Domer Mashu Shomer Otoli Atzmo, that's for me, you know, that I'm not giving up on. He says, what is Achdut? What does it mean, Yichud Hashem Hashem Echad? Says Rav Hirsch, Hitmasrut Gmura El Hashem. Limsar Tatzmi Legamri El Hashem.
The whole life is one meant for us to work on that. It's not something
That's not something you can achieve overnight. Avas Hashem is a high madrig. You're 100% correct. But he's saying that that's the message of Tmimut. And if you look at the bottom of this paragraph in his finale, he says that this mitzvah was given to Avraham Avinu. He says, take a look, he says, at my commentary on Bereishis Yud Zayin, where Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, or he says, Heyei Tamim. Tamim means a complete, total, perfect, hitmasrut, dedication to Hashem. And finally, and with this I'll let you go, is the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yoshe Ben Brisker, and that's on page 3. He says, what's Tmimut? Again, so let's just summarize. So we have so many different approaches to the word Tmimut. Either Tmimut means an intellectual belief in the power of God to alter nature on our behalf, or Tmimut means Midat HaBitachon, or Tmimut means Hishtavut, that we accept both Midat HaDin, Midat HaRachman, everything is part of the divine scheme, it's all for our good. Or Tamim Tiyah means, as Rav Hirsch would say, that every part of our lives is dedicated to Hashem, we leave nothing out. And finally, I think the fifth approach is that of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says that there's a fascinating halacha in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. If you want to make a kinyan on an eved, it's not enough that you call the eved and he comes. But if you call an animal, you want to make a kinyan on an animal, and you call the animal and the animal comes, that's enough of a kinyan. That's called Mashiach. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference? So the Gemara says that Eved adaiti d'nafshe ka'ovit. You know, he makes the decision that it's in his best interest to come if his master calls him. The animal doesn't make these calculations. It's simply adaiti the adono it comes. So anyone who calls the Eved, I'm sorry, anyone who calls the animal and the animal responds, that's called Mashiach. It's as if you pulled the animal. So the Pasuk says, and we've said it yesterday in Tilm Kuf Yutes, it says over there, Adam uvehema toshi Hashem. So Chazal and the Medrash want to know, why does the Pasuk compare a man to an animal? And the answer is, that's called Tmimut. He says, a person might say, you know, it's worth it for me to do the mitzvot for this reason, for that reason. He was Doresh and Choker, and he came up with all sorts of explanations. You know, I'm not going to eat the pig because it causes trigonosis or whatever he comes up with. He says, that's not the way we observe the mitzvot. You know, you're allowed to be choker v'doresh and come up with all your answers and all your speculations about why God commanded you in a mitzvah. That's fine. That's Talmud Torah. You know, that's a theoretical knowledge. But l'maisa, in actuality, when you implement the Torah, leave all that out. You have to implement the Torah because God commands you. Not a daitin nafshe. Not because you think it's worthwhile and you have benefits thereof and you want to be an eved, Hamashavish is Rabba Manasl Kabul Skar, not because of the reward. You're motivated because Hashem asked you to do it. Anachlin Nimshachim Achrecha, we follow you, God, Kibehema, just like a behema does it. A behema doesn't do it adaiti to nafshi for its own calculations. And if you look five lines up before the end of this first major paragraph, it says, "V'behema alichas rak mitzad hadon, b'lo shum tziruv dat atzma." There's no admixture of its own motivation, its own calculation, intellectual decisions beneficial for it. V'zeu mashamru. That's what Chazal mean by comparing man in his service to Hashem to the behema. Afal pisha adam anachdu. Even though we're endowed with the great gift of intelligence, nimshachim achrecha ki behema. We understand that it's for our benefit, and we came up with X number of reasons to explain each mitzvah. Nevertheless, we follow you like the animal does, below shum tziruf, without any admixture of dat atzmenu, our own calculations, rak bishvil tzivcha, only because of your tzivu. V'adaiti didaka avit. We do it like the animal does it for the master. And therefore, we're not motivated by any external calculations and benefits, despite all our speculations. And that's what it means, Hetalech lefanai ve'yei tamim. Debetmimut yiyah alicha b'darkei ha-Torah v'amitzvah lefanai. When you follow the mitzvah, it should be with this tmimut. Tmimut means that we should do it with a perfect sense of dedication to Hashem, without any desire to explain the mitzvah and how it's beneficial to us. We want to learn Torah and we want to, you know, be choker v'doreish, that's fine. But the motivation for our mitzvos has to be like an animal to its adon, beetle atzmi legamre. We don't have any calculations for ourselves, nothing selfish, nothing for our benefits. It's purely bitmimut for the sake of following in Hashem's footsteps. Okay, we don't have time for this Fasemus on page 4, but I wanted to tie this all into Chodesh Elul. Yiratzon, which should be zochet to be mekayim this mitzvah, which both, according to Rabbi Yona and according to the Ramban, is one of the mitzvahs of Torah, Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, and then we'll be zochet v'din in Yitz Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. Please.